in. Praise the Lord. Well, hey, church, you did pretty well today, all things considering. My goodness, you know, could you bring me down a little bit? I feel like there's speakers right up here about ready to explode in my face. Glory to God. Might not sound that way to you out there, but glory to God. It's just so good to see everybody this morning. I trust if you came out today, you're the rowdy ones. You're the ones that aren't stopped by weather. So I tell you what, we're going to have a rowdy service here today, right? Amen, because you came out even with the snowstorm, and you know that most churches around the city today are closed, and so we get to hold down the fort, amen? We get to bring the praise and worship to the throne here today. Glory to God, and so it's just so good to see everybody. Again, you must be the rowdy group, so you're hungry for the word. And we're excited about that. As I look around, of course, I see faces that I recognize. I don't see too many first-timers with us. Of course, on a day like today, that's not a surprise. But it's just so good to be with you. And in case I'm missing somebody, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. And we're just glad to see you. We know that God has a plan for your life. Amen. And we want to connect you to that plan because it's already blessed. And we don't need to make up our own ideas, you know, to get our own plan or just get God on our side. He's already on your side, but he has a plan. And when you go to God, don't ask God to help you with your plan. Ask for his plan because it's already blessed. Amen. Well, you come hungry for the word here today. I'm glad this is a message that I'm going to be preaching to the choir here today, but it's going to help us. Go with me in your Bibles. Go over there to Matthew, go to chapter 5, and I'm going to call this message today, Pursuing Righteousness. Pursuing Righteousness. This week, I was listening to a message by Pastor Nancy Dufresne, and it was kind of playing, my wife had it playing out in our kitchen, and I could hear it from my office, and I just kind of sat there, you know, and was listening to it, and I heard her say something, you know, very interesting that just kind of stirred me up, because as a pastor, I know this and understand this, but she said this, she said, many people are in church, but they're not there to get right. Ooh, my goodness. Again, I'm preaching to the choir. You're in church when very few people are on a day like today. And of course, I believe you're here because you are hungry for the things of God. But she said this. She said, many people are in church, but not many are there, not all are there to get right with God or to be right. And I tell you, that really stirred me up. As a pastor, I know that. I've sat and seen, you know, for years where there's people that will come, they'll sit in church, and they're there for obligation reasons, they're there for a tradition, they're there for a religion, but they're not there for correction, or they're not there to change. I tell you, this life with God is constantly about changing and being corrected and being different than we were the day before, the week before, the month before, the year before. Amen. And so many, they'll sit there, but they don't have a desire or a hunger to be right with God, all right, or to do right, or to talk right, or to think right. But that desire should be a force that drives everything in your life. I'm not here today to show God that I attended church. I'm here because I want to be right with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to do right. I want to know what to do. Praise the Lord. So let's go over to Matthew chapter 5. Actually, we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read a passage of scriptures. Obviously, verse 6 is very familiar to us, but I'm going to read up to that. And this is the passage of scripture that the Bible calls the, what we call the Beatitudes, right? The Beatitudes. You know, people say, what is a beatitude? Well, let me just put it in simple. These are the attitudes or the manners, you could say, of somebody who loves God. This is how it'll show up in your actions and your reactions. And it says, and seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. All right, and this is the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus opened his mouth and taught them, saying, now verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that's what the Beatitudes are. It's not about, it's about what manners will proceed from somebody that the kingdom of God is living in them, right? This is what will show on your life when you're in love with God. He says you're poor in spirit. Now, poor in spirit, that's not a financial term at all. To be poor in spirit means to be humble or to think less of yourself. Or I like how the Amplified Bible puts it, to make yourself insignificant. See, that's a problem with the world is a lot of believers, they think they're more significant than they are. You know what I mean? In the wrong way. You know, they talk themselves up. They boast upon themselves. Well, see, that's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God or the kingdom of God living in your heart will not be boasting of yourself, right? You'll be poor in spirit. You'll be filled with humility. You'll put others before yourself. Amen. That's not my sermon, but I tell you what, it could be real soon. Verse 4, it says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And the word mourn here doesn't mean just to cry for a lost loved one. Of course, God is there for you if you've lost a loved one. We're not saying that. But just losing a loved one doesn't make you blessed. All right? We have to understand. It's not specifically talking about just crying or mourning or being sad that you lost a loved one, though God will comfort you in that. The word mourn there means to bemoan or to wail or to cry out to God, or you could say it this way, to be so concerned about the spiritual state of others. All right? See, mourning isn't just, oh, I'm sad because I lost a loved one. What Jesus is talking about, when the kingdom of God is dwelling in your hearts, you will care about your lost family members, the unsaved, those in your life and people around you that don't know God, that are not living in God's highest and best. Amen. There should be a desire in each and every one of us to see everyone around us living for God, knowing God. Amen. People that will cry out for loved ones to know the Lord. Amen. You know, that would be a more specific definition for verse 4. But verse 5, Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The word meek, it means mild and patient. All right? We're not born to be wild. We're born to be mild. Right? Amen. That means you're under control. You're not returning evil words for what was spoken. That means you have self-control. You don't care what people say about you. You don't let uncontrolled words proceed out of your mouth because you're meek. Praise the Lord. You're mild. You're patient. That means you take a lot. You know, you don't pay someone back for the garbage they say about you. All right? And the meek shall inherit the earth. All right, now verse 6 is a verse that we're very familiar with around here. Blessed are they, Jesus said, which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. All right, we talk about hunger and thirst, but just know this, hunger and thirst is a principle in the Word of God. God's power doesn't go where it's not desired. And if you want God's power, you got to get hungry for God. You got to get thirsty for God. Amen. We've quoted that verse, you know, in 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord range throughout all the earth looking, you know, to and fro, looking, you know, to show himself strong on behalf of whose hearts are perfect towards him. God is looking to demonstrate himself. All right. But he's got to find someone that's hungry. Amen. And I believe he found a group of people here today that are hungry for God because you are one of the few churches, right, in the area that are in church today. All right, we understand people get, you know, genuinely snowed in and things like that. But I just say this, if you know, your church is closed or if you don't go to church because of snow, I'll tell you what, well, then don't go to the store for a gallon of milk either, you know. Because it's amazing, people will look for reasons to stay home for church. But I mean, as soon as, oh, we're hungry and there's no food in the house, well, we got to go out. Can't go without that, you know. Like Pastor Brad was talking about, I mean, when you have hunger for every breath. Now, don't worry, we're not going to waterboard you here today. Our water baptism that's coming up on February 10th, that's not what we're going to do to you. But absolutely, it's amazing how people will put carnal things. They'll have an attitude, well, I got to get out and get a gallon of milk. We have no bread in the house. Oh, man, we got to forge through the storm. Dig yourself out. Get to Walmart. All right? You know, if you'll go out to Walmart to get a gallon of milk or a package of diapers or something like that, well, then don't skip church. Because what you just told the Lord is that those little minor natural needs are more important to you than the spiritual needs. All right? And so I always just tell people, how do you know when it's safe to, you know, drive or with the weather in church and whatnot? Well, would you go out to get something to eat in it? You know, would you go fulfill a natural need in that weather? And if the answer is, well, if you're honest with yourself, and the answer is, yes, I would, well, then you should, how much more should you be fulfilling spiritual needs? Well, praise the Lord, Pastor. You just, Pastor, do you believe in canceling church? Well, I'll tell you what, for a Sunday morning to get canceled, the snow is going to have to lift this building off of its foundation. If I'm the only one here, I am coming. Praise the Lord. You know, it's so amazing to me. Can I just speak real? I get a lot of, you know, as soon as the weather gets bad, you know, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? I'll just tell you, I have never canceled a Sunday morning service in over 13 years of pastoring. What do you think's going to happen? Praise the Lord. Say, Pastor, what if it was really bad? Always listen to your conscience. Obviously, there was a lot of people that were snowed in today, genuinely snowed in. We understand that. You know, but if, I mean, my goodness, I mean, if you'd go out and take care of a natural need in the weather, well, then go out and make sure you take care of your spiritual needs first, all right? And so blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And we often talk about hunger and thirst in terms of your attentiveness in service and your desire in prayer and all those things, which is thoroughly true. But now we're going to look at specifically what this verse tells us to hunger and thirst for. It tells us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. That word righteousness, are you ready? It could be translated the word rightness. Or you could say it this way, uprightness. Okay? Praise the Lord. I like that. Uprightness. And of course it means this. Are you ready? It means meaning the state of being approved by God. The state of being approved by God. Now, this righteousness here is talking about the manward side of righteousness, or pursuing a lifestyle that is approved by God. It means to be upright or correct in God's sight in your thinking, all right, in your speaking, and in your doing. All right. He says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst means to pursue something for the sake of your life. To pursue it for the sake of your life. And now Jesus is saying, blessed are those that pursue for the sake of their life to be correct and approved in their speaking, in their thinking, and in their doing. Amen. Why do we come to the house of God? Because I want to know what is approved by God. I want to have a lifestyle that is approved by heaven. And notice this. He says, make that your pursuit. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. That word righteousness, it also means the state of being as you ought to be. There's a way that believers ought to be in their lifestyle. And I know, see, oh boy, man, I tell you what, it's a snow day at Family Church. What does that mean? Does that mean church is canceled? No. It means I'm going to say things that I probably wouldn't have said otherwise. Oh, I probably would have. I probably would have. See, we're living in the days and the times where churches are scared to tell people what's approved by God and what's not approved by God. They're afraid of actually convicting people and having a strong stance on something. Now, how many of you know there's many lifestyles that God does not approve? God does not approve. And see, his blessing is based on what he approves in your life. He says, blessed are they which do pursue and are driven by a force to have life that is correct in their speaking, their thinking, and their action. For they shall be filled or completely satisfied. Amen. The state of being as you ought to be. It means virtue. It means purity. It means correctness in thinking, speaking, and doing. It means having God's approval on your lifestyle, seeking always to carry yourself in a way that God approves of. Oh, here we go. Praise the Lord. Like I said, hunger and thirst means the pursuit or what you're driven to do. When you're hungry, you're driven to eat. When you're thirsty, you're driven to drink water, right? When you are hungry and thirsty for God, you are driven by a force to always have His approval on everything in this life. And if your life is not blessed, if you are living an unsatisfied life, because that's what the word filled means, it means completely satisfied. The reason why people and Christians are not completely satisfied in their life, because they're not driven by that desire to have God's approval in all things. Oh, praise the Lord. So Jesus is saying, blessed. Can you bring this up in the Amplified? Watch how the Amplified brings out the meaning of that word blessed. Blessed and fortunate. I think it's interesting that the root word of fortunate is fortune. Blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous in that state in which the born-again child of God enjoys God's favor and salvation are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God, for they shall be completely satisfied. What does your life look like when it's completely satisfied? Look at the words that describe somebody who's driven to have God's approval in everything they do. They're blessed, they're fortunate, they're happy, they're spiritually prosperous, all right? They enjoy God's favor and salvation, right standing with God, completely satisfied. So now we see, you know, the source of where our life is going to be filled. All right, it comes when you are driven by this desire to completely have God's approval on everything you say, everything you do. Amen. See, what happened to me this week after I heard that message from Pastor Nancy, as I was praying, that term, pursuing righteousness, kept just floating up into my spirit. Pursuing righteousness, all right, because it's the answer for a lot of people. It's the answer for everybody. Because blessing and prosperity and a life that's happy and enjoyed and satisfied is what everybody wants. See, but the biggest lie that Christians have bought, they thought that if they seek a life that's completely approved by God, is that they would lose their fun in this life, that they'd lose out. No, the most filled, fortunate, happy, satisfying life there is to be driven by the forces, that says, God, I just want to be approved by you in everything I say and do. Praise the Lord. Amen. That means, you know, we're going to change from glory to glory. We're going to constantly be corrected. We have to love correction. See, we need to understand the difference between God's acceptance and His approval. How many of you know God's acceptance is broad? How many of you know God will take you as you are at any moment? I mean, you could be a drug dealer. It could be a prostitute. It could be a gambler. It could be a liar. It could be a thief. All right? Did Christ accept the thief on the cross? Yes, He did. Did He approve of his lifestyle? No, He didn't. Christ will accept you wherever you are in this life. But I tell you, once you have entered that life with Christ, there's a mandate on your life to change and to seek His approval. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Listen, I'm just going to get real bold because Christians are living in lifestyles that aren't approved by God. And I know a lot of them are living that way because churches in America won't tell us that those lifestyles aren't approved. I'm just going to hammer on some. You know, a lifestyle of you living with your girlfriend is not approved by God. All right? This is why, you know, when my wife and I, when we came to Christ, you know, we were dating and we were living together. Guess what? We had to change that. You know, that's why a couple months before I got married, I was living out of my van and out of a little sailboat. Literally, because something had to change. Why? Because all of a sudden we became aware that's not approved by God. And so I wanted my relationship with my fiance at the time, who's now been my wife for almost 16 years, I wanted it to be approved by God. And when you have when you are driven by a force to have your life approved by God, you'll do whatever it takes. You know, why did I stop drinking? I stopped drinking. It was January 18th, 2003. That was the last drink I ever had. Have never had one since. Not going to have one ever again. Why didn't I get drunk? Why didn't I drink anymore? Why? Because I wanted a life that would be approved by God. You want the answer of how to break addictions in your life? I'll tell you what will break addictions. When your hunger to be approved by God outweighs the hunger and desire for that substance, that addiction is going to break. My addiction to alcohol broke when my hunger for God's approval was stronger than my hunger for alcohol. All right? When I smoked cigarettes for 7 years of my life, how did that addiction get broken? Because I got more hungry for God than I did for nicotine. Amen. How is, you know, addiction to drugs or prescription meds, how is that hunger going to, how is that addiction going to break? When you get so hungry for God's approval, that hunger will outweigh and destroy your hunger for something that's wrong. Or a life that's addicted to pornography. Or a life that's addicted to social media. Which, by the way, has become the number one addiction in this country and in this world. The internet is the number one distraction for Christians in the world, bar none. Doesn't mean it's wrong to use it. Doesn't mean you can't be on there and use it appropriately. But it does mean it is the number one distraction. People getting on there, getting in fights, nonstop arguing about political stuff and social, all this and that. Well, anyway, boy, sure got quiet in here. Praise the Lord. You'd think that we were missing half of our congregation due to a snow day. It got so quiet in here. Oh, so you need to understand, God's acceptance will take somebody the way they are. When I came to the Lord, He accepted me with my drinking habits. He took me with my foul mouth. He took me in every single way possible. But I knew and understand His acceptance and His approval are two different things. He'll accept things, but He will not put His stamp of approval. See, someone can come to Christ and they can, you know, accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, but when they don't hunger and thirst after righteousness, now they're going to live a life that is outside of the approval of God. And when God doesn't approve, there's no blessing. When there's no approval, there's no fulfillment or satisfaction. Amen. We need to understand the difference between God's acceptance and His approval. The Lord will accept you at any place. He, like I said, He'll take the drug dealer, He'll take the prostitute, He'll take the drunk, the liar, the thief, and the gambler. He'll take the homosexual right then. He'll say, I'll accept you into my midst. He says, but I don't approve of that lifestyle. God doesn't approve of homosexuality. He does not approve of transgenderism. He does not approve in bisexuality. He does not approve of pornography. He does not approve of sex before marriage. He does not approve of addiction and alcohol and dope and all this other stuff. He doesn't approve. And when we try to seek God's approval and we seek His blessing without His approval, we're deceived. We're deceived because His blessing, His prosperity, His satisfied life comes from God. I want to be right. Now those things are the first and the most basic things that we seek His approval in. Obviously, we start with the basics. Obviously, drugs and alcohol, you know, God has no approval. Premarital sex, He has no approval in that. Pornography, no approval in that. Lying, gambling, no approval in that. There's no approval. That's what God said, you know, listen, don't spend your life doing those things because I can't approve of that. I can't put my blessing on it. Can you put a blessing on when your child misbehaves? No. All right, and God's at least as smart as we are. Okay? But those are the kind of the initial things. But what about those areas in life that you don't have specific chapter and verse? Because we have chapter and verse for drinking. We have chapter and verse about premarital sex. We have chapter and verse about pornography and adultery. And we have chapter and verse that tells us those things are not approved by God. Go with me in your Bible. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to enjoy church today. Are you driven by that desire to have His approval? I'll tell you what. When you're living for God, there's movies you don't watch anymore. Why? Is it because it's about rules? No, because God don't approve those dirty, rotten movies. God don't approve all forms of entertainment. Oh, glory to God. Where did I tell you to go? Hebrews chapter 12, I believe. Hebrews chapter 12. Go over there. Amen. Start in verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1. So we know what sins are. I think most of us know. A sin is when you violate the written word of God. Meaning it's a written declaration of God's word. God tells us plain, you know, black and white language. He does not approve of this, that, and the other. Okay? Well, we're going to see there's something else that needs to be approved. Look at this. Verse 1, it says, "Wherefore seeing, we also are compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us or weigh us down, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." This is talking to Christians. It's talking about their lifestyle. It's talking about how they live. Boy, there's a lot going on in verse 1. Notice it says we're surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. All right, there's a twofold application to that. Number one, the witnesses of the angels of God. The angels of God are sent to surround us in our life, and they are taking record of everything we say and everything we do. Jesus said, every word will be held unto the day of judgment. And the Bible gives us an idea that angels are dispatched to record all the things we say, all the things we do. Why? Because God will not be blamed. You know, we can never go before God and say, God, it was your fault. He's going to say, well, no, it's not, because on this day you said this, that, and this. God will not be blamed. He is not mocked. Everything you say and all you do is being recorded, and that's the first form of the cloud of witnesses. The second application of that is that there seems to be indication in the Word of God that our deceased loved ones that have gone to heaven can see what we do. And they seem to only be interested in that which God is approved of in our lives. All right? And so there seems to be something, you know, in the Word that tells us that our past loved ones that are in heaven, they see what we do. They don't care about your money. They don't care about, you know, natural things in your life as much as they care about you pursuing an approved lifestyle by God. Amen? And so don't disappoint the angels, and don't disappoint grandma. I got two grandmothers and two grandfathers who all loved God that are up there, and there's a good chance they can see what I'm doing, and they don't care how much money I'm making or, you know, the things I have in my life, but they do care about, you know, a life that's approved by the Heavenly Father. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Anyway, that's free, no charge. But now look what it says. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that would so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So notice you are running a race in this life. Okay, it's not the rat race, but it is God's race, okay? That word race means a course. You know, it's not necessarily just a sprint or just a one-lane race where you're just running straight the whole time. It's a course. You know, there's a course that you follow in this life. God has it prepared, and there's a plan for you in this life, okay? But notice there's two things that will prevent you or hinder you. One of them is easy to understand, the sin. Sin will weigh you down. What is sin? Sin is when we violate the Word of God, when we do something against the Word that God does not approve of. When you're doing things that God does not approve of, you lose the blessing, okay? You lose that satisfaction in life, all right? You lose the fulfillment of God, all right? So we know what sin is. But notice there's something else in this life that can slow you down if you're not careful. Notice it says the weight and the sin. So we know what sins are, but notice that there's also weights. There's weights in this life. Are you ready? What is a weight? Well, let me explain that to you. Praise the Lord. All right, a weight is something that isn't sinful, but it isn't God's plan for you. All right, a weight is something that isn't sinful, but it's not God's plan for you. Okay, both can weigh you down. All right, this is why it's important. The first step is to do the word as much as we possibly can. All right, we live an approved life the best we can by the word of God. Okay, Jesus said over there in John chapter 14, he says, if you love me, do my commandments. It's real simple. If you love God, you're going to want to obey his word. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do nothing what I say? If you don't obey the word, then he's not Lord. A lot of people, they want Jesus as Savior, but you got to make him Lord of your life. What is Lord? I want my Lord's approval. Okay? So now the first step is to do everything we know to do by the word. All right? That's pursuing righteousness. When I came to the Lord, I was a drinker. I knew that that drinking lifestyle was not approved by God. Guess what? I had to get out of it. And it was quicker than it was slower, but it wasn't all in one day. But I mean, it was relatively pretty quick because I just knew I was not going to be fake. See, that's the word of righteousness. There's a way that we should be. A boozing Christian is a contradiction of terms. Right? Well, I'm a Christian, but I go to the bar and I belly up and I go to happy hour. No, no, no. There's one thing I wasn't going to be in this life, and that's fake. I wasn't going to proclaim to be one thing and then, you know, somewhere else be something different. See, people act like being a Christian isn't going to cost you something. But the things that it costs you are good to get rid of anyhow. Oh, being a Christian cost me my drinking. It cost me my alcoholism. Oh, that's such a bad thing. Sorry, didn't mean to hurt you. You know, oh, well, get the alcoholism out. Guess what? Your marriage will improve. Your health will improve. Your thinking will improve. The blessing of God will approve. All right. Oh, but Pastor, if I stop that, I'm going to lose all my friends. Then they're not your friends. I stopped drinking. All of a sudden, people didn't want to hang out with me as much anymore. I stopped smoking dope. All of a sudden, I noticed they didn't want me around anymore. You know why? Because when I would say no, no thank you, nope, don't do that, nope, I don't accept it, it made all them uncomfortable because I was the biggest reminder in the room of what they were doing wrong. See, if you think you're going to live, when you live a life that's approved by God, that approved life is going to bother other people. Because it's going to be the first thing that tells them their life isn't approved. Oh, Pastor, you're gonna ruin my friendships because, you know, I go and booze with the buddies here and there. See, God doesn't have his approval on that. And see, you better ask yourself, is there how much satisfaction is there in that beer can? None. So, Pastor, it seems fun for a little while. I know, it wears out. See, it gives you a false satisfaction, and then you wake up the next day, and every bit of satisfaction is gone minus some. It's a thief. It steals from you. All right? And so people think they're going to get satisfaction. You know, that relationship that's not approved by God, whoo, here we go. You boyfriends and girlfriends that are hanging out, sleeping with each other, you know, God don't approve that. And if you don't correct that now, he's never going to bless your relationship. See, my wife and I, we had to correct that. We had to look at each other and say, my goodness, what we're doing together, as much as it is in the name of love, we loved each other. Don't matter. God didn't approve it.
God has one method by which he approves a sexual relationship. It's called marriage between a man and a woman. And when you live that way and say, oh, but God will make an exception for us, he makes an exception for nobody. Come on. And we realized, we said, we can't do this anymore. God doesn't approve that. And so we made that correction, all right? And we inconvenienced our lives greatly to make that correction. And I still can remember to this day, the day after we got married, we were cruising up to Maine in a 1986 Chevy van. Woo! Aren't there songs about Chevy vans? Well, anyway, we better not go there. This van, it was a brown 86 Chevy van C20. It was a cargo van. It didn't even have panels in it. And we drove that thing. What a honeymoon mobile it was. Too much information, Pastor Tim. No. I didn't say that. And so we cruised this thing, and we were bombing down the thruway. We were on our way up to Maine for our honeymoon, and I remember as I was driving that van, and because my wife and I had made that correction, the blessing of God was tangible in that vehicle as we were driving that day. I looked over, and my wife was sleeping, you know, in the seat next to me. She was just, you know, sleeping. She'd fallen asleep as we were driving. And it was like the blessing of God came into that van and just rested on me. And again, I didn't hear these words, but it felt like on the inside that God was saying, now I can bless your marriage. Now this relationship can be good because you did what it took to make it approved by me. Amen. See, when you hunger and thirst after uprightness, you'll do whatever it takes. If you're hungry for God, you'll tell that boyfriend or girlfriend, no, we don't do that. Whoa, here we go, man. Snow day. Whoa, praise the Lord. And so when you do those things, you know, those natural things that are written in the Word of God, meaning you know what is sin, then God's going to, after you've been faithful to remove the known sins out of your life, now he can start talking to you about the weights. Boy. Man alive. Well, good thing there's lots of snow out there because the heat is on you. You can go out and cool off. After church, you can go jump in our snow drift out there. Cool down. See, but once you take the things you know are sins, then God can start talking to you about the weights. See, this is the importance about being hungry and thirsty after being right with God. You know why? Because it makes God's voice more tangible to you. The voice of God will be way clearer to you in your life when you're hungry and thirsty to do whatever it takes to get his approval. Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. The power of God rests upon those whom he approves. Yeah. And this is why so many church leaders are afraid to tell people. They're afraid to tell people what God approves of and what he doesn't. All right. Okay. So now you're taking the steps by the word of God. See, now there were things in my life that were weights, even though they weren't sins. See, once I got my relationship with my wife right, and once I got my speaking right, I stopped drinking, I stopped drugging, all that stuff, you know, broke off my life because I wanted God's approval, all right? Then he started talking to me about weights in my life, things that weren't sinful, things that many of you, you know, can do, and God has no problem, but for my life, it wasn't the plan of God. The first thing that God dealt with me was sailing. You've heard the stories. I had a sailboat, of course, before my wife and I were married. It was in spring. It was still cold. And I was living part-time out of that boat. It was just a small sailboat. It had a little cuddy down there. And I would go down there and sleep with the spiders. I'd wake up every morning and there'd be some big brown recluse spider over my head. You know, and I lived at the marina and I'd sleep in that cold van because it had no panels. There was no heat in it and things like that. But afterwards, the Lord started dealing with me about sailing. And I had this
real desire to. I went to Florida. I had sailed to the Bahamas. I had that sailboat on Lake Erie. I sailed across the lake. I sailed to Canada. I was trained. I spent a few weeks in a sailing school. I got invited to be an instructor. All this stuff. It was just my life. It was what, you know, I went after. And the Lord showed me in a Bible study with my grandparents one night. He showed me that that sailboat had to go. I mean, I'm telling on myself, I got red-faced, teary-eyed, I sobbed like a little kid, and I knew with all the life within me that that sailboat had to go. Why? Was it a sin to have, is it a sin to have a sailboat? No, but it was a weight in my life that was going to prevent me from doing what God had me to do. See, when you're faithful to remove the sins, God can start speaking to you about the weights. It's the weights in your life that'll hold you back. What is a weight in your life? When you have the job that God didn't call you to have. Come on. What's a weight in your life? When you're dating the wrong person. What's a weight in your life? You know, when you're watching the wrong entertainment. You know? Come on now. So many people, they cry out, God, I want you to talk to me. Talk to me. Like God will do, you know. I mean, everyone wants to hear God's voice. They want this supernatural life for God. Well, you got to hunger and pursue to be approved in everything you're saying and doing. Come on now. Pursuing rightness. You know, why does God love a tither? Because he approves of it. Amen. He approves of it. Why does God tell you to forgive that family member that's been on your case for years? Forgive them, even if they wronged you, because that's what he approves of. Oh, but I'm going to be a grudge holder, and I'm going to be mad at them, and I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. God don't approve of that. Why do I pray in other tongues? Because God approves of it. Amen. Why do we give? Because God approves of it. Why do we lift our hands and worship? Is that because that's our personalities? No, because God approves of it. The more that you do that God approves of, the more blessing, fulfillment, fortunate you'll be. Come on now. Pursue it. You know, I dare you, you know, why don't I advocate just standing in church and listening to the praise and worship? God don't approve of that. Why don't we just sing, you know, dirgy songs and just sing them and, you know, not worship or do anything? God don't approve of that. Why? Because that's not his word. Amen. These aren't just things we see in the Bible. They're things that we're instructed to do in the Bible. Glory to God. All right. So sins and weights. If you want to hear God's voice in your life more clearly, if you want to walk in his power, number one, remove the sins that you know. All right. And then ask God, you know, what the weights are. My wife will attest to this. When we get together and pray, a lot of times I will bring the things that I enjoy in my life to God. How many of you know it's okay for you to have hobbies? Does anyone in here have anything you enjoy in this life? All right, if you have something you enjoy in this life that's not sinful, all right, good. You know, that's a good thing. You know, take, for instance, in my life, I like to hunt, okay? And you say, oh, my goodness, I don't like hunting and, you know, people that shoot animals. Don't send me a letter. All right. Believe me, I believe I'm a conservationist. I believe I'm a environmentalist. I love the outdoors and all that. But I enjoy being in the woods. I enjoy hunting. But I bring hunting before the Lord on a regular basis. You know, Lord, if you want me to never hunt again, Lord, if for some reason, if this becomes a weight or is a weight, say the word and I'm done. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's other things, you know, I enjoy in life that maybe you don't enjoy in life, but they're not sinful, but I bring them before God. God will tell you, if you ask him, he will tell you what the weights are in your life. I didn't say the weight in your life. I said weights. Praise the Lord. We're not talking about that, even though it is the beginning of the year. And maybe we got some resolutions. Yeah, glory to God. Okay. But you got to ask, you know, you got to go and ask the Father. You got to pray and say, what are the weights in my life? you know, a relationship, does God approve that relationship in your life? Is that relationship being conducted according to God's plan and God's will? Ooh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I don't know if I want to say that. I got to make sure that that's the Lord and not me. So we'll wait on that for a few moments. Okay, let's say it. If you're not careful, there will be people and relationships in your life that are weights. You know, and God has a way of removing people. I don't mean through destruction or anything like that. But I'll tell you what, you know, there comes a time. There will be somebody that, you know, you'll strive with, you know. You'll just try to get them to follow God's plan, and they just won't. And when they will not follow God's plan, they are a weight. God never called us to bondage, to be in a situation where somebody in this life, not anybody, there is nobody in this life that if they didn't want to go on with God, you know, that I would just say, well, okay, let's have it your way. If I gave up on the plan of God, you know, my wife would not abide or strive with me forever. If my wife got out of the plan of God and said, I don't want to go God's way, listen, I will go on with God no matter what. And there becomes times when somebody becomes a weight. And of course, you would only know by being led by the Spirit of God. Say, Pastor, are you telling us that you're an advocate of divorce? Nope, not an advocate at all of it. However, when somebody becomes a weight that will destroy the plan of God in your life, God has a way of dealing with that. God has a way of dealing with that. Well, praise the Lord. Are you getting any help out of this? Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. He says, let us cast away the weights and the sins. And so if you want to hear God's voice more clearly, all right, you got to be driven by this desire to be right with God. I'm driven as a parent that my parenting, my methods of parenting are approved by the Word of God. Amen. My relationship with my wife is approved. I'm in the right job. Obviously, this isn't a job. I'm saying that for all of our benefits. Are you in the job that God called you to? Or the college that God called you to? Or whatever it is. So many people are just living life going about their own plan. God isn't blessing every plan on this earth. He's blessing His plan. Amen. Did you get some help out of this here today? Praise the Lord. You know, this is why we stop doing things that don't have God's approval. All right, it is your job. If you want to see God's power, His blessing, amen, rest upon you, then He must approve of your life. Amen. You know what? I think we can stop right there. I could go, I just heard a hallelujah. It was Justin. I heard him. I said, well, I think we can stop right there. Because there's times in a sermon I could go and open a whole new direction. And if I know that if I do, it'll take us, that's what we have next week for. But I said, yeah, we can be done right there. Justin's like, hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a miracle. Pastor, it's not even noon. Snow day. No, I just know this. It actually has nothing to do with the weather, has nothing to do with the fact that, you know, many people couldn't be here. But there's times, and if you've ministered in the pulpit, you know what I'm talking about. When you know it's done, but yet for the sake, you just feel like you just try to keep it going. And then all that'll do is that'll make you tired and frustrated. All right? But speaking of tired and frustrated, there is no more frustration or a more tired life than a life that you're living without God's approval. Don't let the devil lie to you and say, I can't be without that relationship. I can't be without, boozing, drinking stuff. I can't, be without that. I can't be without that. Listen, if it doesn't have God's approval, then it's stealing from you. And it's stealing fortunate. It's stealing prosperous. It's stealing happy. It is stealing fully satisfied. And the reason why Christians are frustrated, burnt out in this life is because they're pursuing a life that isn't approved by God. Pursuing righteousness. Dr. Dufresne, he said it all the time. And, you know, when you hear it, it doesn't sound profound, but he said it so much that it became revelation to me. He would just say it all the time. You got to be right. You got to be right. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you got to win your argument. It means you got to be right with God. So many Christians, they know to tithe and they don't. They're not right. You know, he used to say all the time, he said, if you want to prosper God's way, you got to be right. You got to be right with him. You know, you can't be, I love it. Dr. Dufresne, he would say, you got to stop shucking and jiving. And believe me, you got to be careful how you say that when you're speaking publicly. And he would just talk and he would tell a story of how this one minister, you know, wrote him this letter telling him, you know, how awful he is and how rotten he is. And just, I mean, just belittling him to the hilt. And then they show up and they were in the same conference. They were in the same meeting. And Dr. Dufresne approached this altar and there were several ministers talking to each other. And one of them was that guy. And that guy who sent that letter turned to him and said, oh, hello, Brother Ed or whatever he called him. Hello, Dr. Dufresne, how are you? It's good to see you. Dr. Dufresne just looked at the guy's hand and he's like, why are you offering to shake my hand now? He's like, you write me a letter telling me, you know, how rotten I am. He's like, I'm not going to shuck and jive like that. I don't act one way, one place, and another way, another. I love that about him. He said, you're always with him. What you saw is what you got. Amen. You know, you don't act like, if you're living a life where you're just talking and gossiping and ripping somebody up and down, but then you see them to their face, they're all smiles and happy. See, God don't approve of that. You got to be right. You know, if you skip church, and I don't mean because of a snowstorm, but I mean, if you skip church because, I can't be in church. That's my day off, or I like to sleep in. That's my thing. God don't approve of that. You got to be right. You know, oh, I know, me and my girlfriend, we do this, that, and this, but whatever. No, you got to be right. Well, I know I'm supposed to. No, you got to be right. Oh, I know I'm supposed to praise and worship. Listen, if you know those things and you don't do them, the great cloud of witnesses is seeing it all. You know, amen. Did you get some help here today? You know how I just said you don't want to extend a sermon when it's over? I've realized I'm starting to do that. So let's go ahead and let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. Father, we thank you. We pursue rightness. We're driven by this inward desire, Father, that we are approved, not just accepted. Lord, you'll accept us in any form, but you will not approve every form of life. And Father, we know that when we make Jesus our Lord and our Savior, we now have a mandate to live a life that's approved. Lord Jesus, you said, why do we call you Lord and do nothing what you say? Lord, you said if we love you, we'll do your commandments. Lord, you said if we'll hunger and thirst after uprightness, to be approved in in how we speak and think, how we act. Father, you said to throw off the weights that do easily hinder us so that we can run our race. So Father, we know that we start with the sins. We start with the obvious things, the things that your word spells out that you're not approved of. And so Father, we start with those. And then Lord God, we thank you. You reveal to us the weights in our life. And Father, I'll do it again. I'll stand before you. And Father, in the presence of the Lord and in this company, Father, if there's something in my life that's a weight, if there's something in my life that just isn't your plan, Father, I'll remove it today. If it means something, I got to separate myself from something I enjoy, whatever it is, Lord, I want all of your plan and only your plan. And Father, we just thank you. We praise you. And Father, as we do so, our spirit will become much more sensitive to the voice of God. And so, Father, I thank you. I just speak your blessing upon each one that's here today. Father, we know that in a snowstorm that caused a lot of church closings and so on, Lord, these people are here today. And so, Father, there's hunger within them. And Lord, I know you won't turn them away empty-handed. So, Father, I just declare to this congregation today that they're blessed and filled. And Lord, we just give you the praise and all the glory. With every head bowed, every eye closed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Have you personally done what the Bible says to get saved? We have to accept Christ the Lord's way. And the Bible tells us how. It's Romans 10:9. That if you'll declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. There's no trick. You just have to be sincere. If you'll come to God and you'll say, God, I mean it with all my heart. I believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe that he rose again so that I could be saved, and I take him now as my Lord and Savior. If you'll do that with God, he'll hear you and he'll grant you and he'll accept you. And from that moment, it'll be now your mandate to hunger and thirst for uprightness. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead this congregation in a prayer, and right there in your seat, you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice who've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? Is there anybody you've never made him, you never prayed and accepted Christ? Of course, we don't have many visitors, you know, on a day like this. And I look out and I see people that you know Jesus, you're serving him with all your heart. But I just want to make sure. I wouldn't want to close this service without giving that opportunity. Well, praise the Lord. Father God, we just love you. We praise you. And Father, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. I'll tell you what, it was worth driving through that snow to be here today. I'll tell you what, you know, this drive for uprightness, I bring it with me in prayer. When I pray, I tell God, I'm hungry for you. Father, I'm thirsting. If there's something, like David said, what is that? Psalm 139, he said, if there be any wicked way in me, reveal it. If there's something in my life that you don't approve. See, when you pursue that, God will make sure you have it. He'll make sure to tell you. You won't have to invent things in your life that need to be removed. God will just simply show you and you'll be able to do that. Well, let's just praise him. Let's glorify him. Father, we just magnify you. Father, we give you all the praise today. Father, I command your hand of blessing on this congregation. Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.